Welcome aboard the BK Escape Pod. That's right, it's the augmented and bionic podcast version of the live show you can hear Saturdays from 10 a.m. till 12 p.m. Eastern on 100.3 FM and AM 1450 WBHF Radio. You can stream the show live there Saturdays at WBHFradio.org or on the free TuneIn app. Look out, here we go.
Skinny punks, that this wind doesn't pick up, because I'll come over there and jam an oar up there.
Stand by to receive our transmission.
So, okay, I know Alan Sanders is here in the studio with me now. And if you look at me and see if I've got, like, if my arms look lopsided, there's a reason for that. Because I'll tell you why. And by the way, I had my... this week, I went for my annual physical that I get every year. Everyone should get checked out.
Is that why it's called annual?
Yeah. Okay. Semi-annual, annual.
Dumbass.
I got my annual physical.
I go for my occasional.
And what's cool is after my physical, the doc looked at me, and he gave me 6 months.
6 months.
Yep. So, you know.
Before you better come back?
Yeah.
Or to lose weight?
No, just before I come back.
Change your diet?
Somebody 6 months to live. Wait, why? No. He gave me 6 months.
Until Stacy realizes the horrible mistake she's made.
But she's also like, man, I'm glad I upped that life insurance policy to...
I am your beneficiary,
if
right?
If it was health-related, I get triple indemnity on that. Triple the amount on that. Mm. So, but anyway, I went and got checked.
I was wondering why my wife was asking me that question.
It pays double if it's by pillow.
Yeah, exactly.
By pillow.
So if he dies by mysterious circumstances.
There's cotton all over his face along
with
lint.
If he just goes missing but is never really found, well, do I still get to claim the policy?
All jokes aside, everything checked out okay with me. I am 56 years old now. And certain things you got to get checked now when you get older. And I'm like,
plumbing works?
Yeah, plumbing's working. Everything's fine.
The electrical's still firing?
Yes, electrical's firing great. But
storage might be a problem.
No bypasses.
The DVR is getting full.
It is getting full. It's been getting full since high school.
Isn't it amazing we can use building analogies?
Yeah, but it works,
it's
though.
It's true.
It works.
I have used the DVR analogy for so many things lately.
That's funny that you mentioned that. They did a special, Star Trek special, a few years back when Whoopi Goldberg hosted this thing called the Captain Summit. And she interviewed Jonathan Frakes, Patrick Stewart, Leonard Nimoy, William Shatner. They had, you know, most of the main cast of the two shows back in the day. And they'd never had sat at a round table and had done that. And then the analogy you just made, Patrick Stewart sitting there talking, giving an answer to her question. He's like, well, you know, some of the classic Star Trek actors were on our show. Leonard did our show. And Jimmy Doohan, Scotty, he was on one of our episodes where we found him in suspended
animation.
One
of the first ones.
And he says, Nichelle Uhura was in our show, and Jonathan Frakes goes, no, she wasn't in our show, Patrick. Mm. He's like, she wasn't? And he named another one. He's like, no, he wasn't in our show. And Shatner looks at Patrick, and he's like, you know, Patrick's doing the stage right now. He said he's in a production when they recorded that interview with Whoopi. He was currently doing a show on stage of the play that they could not mention while they were on stage. You know, they were on a stage, so they couldn't say the name of the play. It's a Shakespeare play. And you know,
Macbeth.
Obviously, the one I'm talking about. Yeah, because we're not on a stage right
now.
We can say it.
Macbeth.
And Shatner goes, you know, he's got all these lines from these plays that he still does, and he's a wonderful actor. His head's like a TiVo. He says, you got all these lines in there, but you can't remember anything else because it's taking up all the space in your brain with all these Shakespeare lines. Mm-hmm. It's pushing all the other stuff aside. That's why I think is wrong with me sometimes. I'm like, mm-hmm. I've got so many other useless facts in my head that I can't remember the last time I swept the living room.
I need a good defrag. I got all these little bits of data, some expansion.
Right. I need to have more rooms.
That would be good.
I don't know how you can do that.
Can I buy more storage?
Don't drill a hole in your head, though. That's not going to happen. So that's the old
Elon Musk is
way.
Probably working on it. Oh, yeah, I've got a digital implant for that.
You just wear it in the back. It's like a Lobot. Remember Lobot on Bespin? It's in Enterprise Strikes Back. It's that thing that you wear.
I'm waiting for that now. So you know what? Download your memories.
Right.
Save. And then if you need to recall something, like, hold on. It's Harry Potter's Pensieve.
Sure, yeah, sure.
I'll recall the memory because I can't keep it all in my head at once.
But like everything else, it sounds cool, but there's going to be some drawback to it that's going to be bad.
Oh, yeah, you'll find out that you were actually programmed by somebody else and that this is all fake existence. Like, wait, what?
Well, let's talk nostalgia right quick because I'm going to tie this in with my physical. Did you ever had chicken pox when you were a kid?
When I was a wee lad.
I didn't know a lot about chicken pox even up until today, I just knew what it was called, what it did, why it was what it was. Mm-hmm. But do you know why, and I'll get a reason for this, and I'll carry it over to the next segment if I have to. Do you know why they called it chicken pox? Did you ever find out why?
Well, I know.
I'm like, why did they call it that?
I know the pox is, it's like the disease.
Right.
A pox,
well, it's a virus. Yeah.
So, I mean, we know that it caused scabs, and it would cause a visible, you were a pox.
Yeah.
But why is it called chicken pox?
Yeah.
I got to imagine.
I never knew why.
And I'm sure I'm wrong. But if you're going to ask me if I have to take a wag at it.
Take a wild one.
A wild guess. It's because they thought it came from birds, playing with birds.
Okay. That's what I thought. But this is it. The name chickenpox has been around for centuries, and there are a number of theories on how it got its name. One is that it's from the blisters that are seen with the illness. The red spots, which are about one inch to 2.5 inches, you know, 5 millimeters to 10 millimeters wide when you get them, were once thought to look like chickpeas. That's one of the reasons. The other reason is, the rash of chicken pox looks like the peck marks caused by a chicken on your skin. Huh. Now, these are all old medieval reasons that they came up with.
A dirty bird with filthy mouth pecks and causes an infection.
It says, but in case you're wondering, chicken pox can't be caught from a chicken. So,
okay.
But those are the two reasons that chicken pox... I knew you can't catch it, but I thought maybe
ancient or medieval would go...
My mind...
Oh, them dirty birds. Right,
my mind was like... Well, way back when, maybe in the 30s or 40s, and I didn't know how long it had been around. It's been around longer than I ever thought it had been. But as a kid, I'm like, well, they must have did tests. They must have did culture tests maybe with chickens. And then it mutated, and then chickens had this disease that people would get. That's what I thought the reason it was called and tied in with the word chicken. Mm. But no, that's not the reason. It's because it looked like chickpeas on your,
interesting.
On your thing. Or it also looks like chicken pecks on your skin. So anyway, and I had chicken pox. My sister and I did. And if you've had chicken pox, you're also, I've heard, susceptible, and it's true, to getting shingles, another skin condition, which is horrible, because isn't it weird how, like, this virus will lay dormant in your body, and it's still there. Now, if it decides to pop back up again,
hello,
when you're an adult or older, it's going to be called the shingles, and you thought the chicken pox was itchy and bad, this will attack your skin like you've never seen before. Now, some cases are worse in some people,
mm-hmm.
and some are more lenient or whatever. I had an uncle once that I knew had shingles, and when I saw him, I'm like, what's wrong with you? And he's like, I got the shingles, and my skin is on fire, and it's terrible, and I've even seen photos now on the internet of people where it attacks. I've never seen many of this case, but sometimes it's on your face.
Right.
Sometimes it gets around your eyes.
Well, too. I have a friend of mine, it affected her cornea. It actually attacked her eyeball.
Yeah. And that's pretty bad.
You know, you talked about shingles. I kept thinking, is that Sean Connery saying, I have a great collection of shingles? I loved the hits.
And you know, Sean Connery didn't really talk that badly until he got his false teeth.
Totally.
That's what happened to him. So, actually, somebody from England told me that. But, yes, everything's fine. You don't want the chicken pox, and you don't want the shingles either. I got the shingles shot this week, the first one you're supposed to get.
Say that very clearly.
You get one, and then you get another one 2 months later. And if you were to punch me in this arm right now where I got the shingles shot, you'd have to do the show because I'd go down crying because it's the worst shot I've ever had.
We got a break coming
in my life. Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Ow!
I am stuck on Band-Aid brand because Band-Aid's stuck on me. I am stuck on Band-Aid because Band-Aid's stuck on me because they really stick to your fingers and they stick on Band-Aid knees.
Remember, only Johnson & Johnson makes Band-Aid brand adhesive bandages with the unique Super Stick adhesive. Depend on the protection of America's number one bandage.
I am stuck on Band-Aid, cause Band-Aid's stuck on me.
Molly!
What happened?
Just fell off the swing.
He did? Well, let's see. Oh, a little Bactine will fix that right up.
That good stuff?
Oh, it's real good.
Bactine is unsurpassed in killing germs among the leading antiseptics.
Uh-oh, looks like you need some, too. Is that better?
Better!
Oh, you guys.
Bactine helps the hurt stop hurting.
Thank you. fellow classic TV fans, from 1968 to 75, the seven-season run of Adam 12 appeared on NBC with 175 episodes. Created and produced by Robert C. Nader for Jack Webb's Mark 7 Limited, the police procedural drama helped pave the way for shows such as Emergency and Starsky and Hutch. The unit was One Adam 12. Reportedly, the 1 stood for the LAPD division, the Adam signified two officers, and 12 was the car ID. Martin Milner and Kent McCord played officers Malloy and Reed, and the ever-familiar radio voice was an actual LAPD dispatcher named Sharon Claridge. Each Adam 12 episode had its stories based on actual police calls. Of course, the facts were changed to protect the guilty. Wait, I mean, the names were changed to protect the innocent. And speaking of names, just a few of the classic TV icons who appeared on this show included the likes of Barry Williams, Dick Sargent, and David Cassidy. Also, Tony Dow, Mark Goddard, and Lindsay Wagner. Family Affair's Johnny Whitaker made an appearance, and speaking of Family Affair, the lovely Kathy Garver and Perry Mason's Barbara Hale both starred in the 91st episode. Jack Webb was known for emphasizing total authenticity, and in turn, the show inspired many young people to become police officers. And as a matter of fact, episodes of the show were actually used as real police training videos. This is Pat McCormick with your retro TV trivia from the Golden Rage of TV. You can also find me on Facebook and YouTube at Golden Rage of TV and on Twitter at Golden Rage of TV 1. And now back to BK on the air.
Officer needs help. 9226 Van Arden. Shots fired. 1 Adam 12, handle code 3.
1 Adam 12, roger.
Car going down the road. The two officers, that great Jack Webb and Adam 12, Dragnet, Emergency 51, or rather Emergency. It was Emergency 51, I think, in syndication. And then Jack Webb went on to do Project UFO. Did you know they finally retired 714, the badge number that Friday used in Dragnet and with the Los Angeles Police Department? They retired that number and made him an honorary police detective back in the day. That says a lot if you get respect from the police department, because he would consult them all the time on how to do these stories.
Now, you listen to me, cop. I pay your salary.
All right, sit down. I'm going
to
earn it.
You already have the kind of money you make. What do they pay you to carry that badge around? 40 cents an hour?
You sit down. That badge pays $464 a month. That's what the job's worth. I knew that when I hired on. $67.40 comes out for withholding. I give $27.84 for pension and $12 for widows and orphans. That leaves me $356.76. That badge is worth $1.82 an hour. So, mister, you just settle back in that chair, because I'm going to blow about $20 of it right now.
And what was the big thing when Dragnet was on? The story you're about to see is true. The names are changed to protect the innocent. He took from real stories and adapted them into screenplays for television. So Adam 12, definitely part of that television universe, connected cinematic universe, long before Marvel did it, where they're all connected to each other. I know that Adam 12 made, the two guys from Adam 12 made appearances on Dragnet on the later episodes of Dragnet. That's what Jack Webb made them have their own show, I guess. And then I don't know if the Adam 12 officers ever guest starred on Emergency, or the guys from the fire department were on like an episode of Adam 12 and they gave them their own show. I can't remember, but I loved all those shows. Especially, I think more kids liked Emergency more than me as a kid. I grew up watching Adam 12 first. Then I went back and discovered Dragnet. Did I tell you? I told the guys when I made an appearance on Radio Labyrinth not too long ago, the podcast, that they asked me, you know, they kind of do a lot of podcasts like Your Wilder Ride. You guys will say toward the end of the thing, like, what are you watching right now? What are you reading? What are you doing? Or what podcasts are you listening to? I told those guys, I said, well, you know, I just got done over the past almost year, maybe 8, 9, 10 months, of seeing the entire run of Dragnet. I said I started with the radio play in the early 50s, listened to all of the radio plays, because it was directed and starred Jack Webb as Friday, too. And then I watched the black and white version, which was out in the 50s, from like the mid to early 50s up to late 50s, not quite 1960, was his black and white episodes of Dragnet, which, believe it or not, he adapted a lot of the radio plays into dramas into black and white episodes of the show. He just made them live action ones. So I'm like, wait a minute, this one sounds familiar. Oh, that was a radio one. They just made it into a live action TV show. I know I'd heard it somewhere. And then it came back in 1965, I think, to run to 1970 as the color episodes of Dragnet.
That's amazing. So,
and I watched the entire run of Dragnet. And I am still kind of floored over how, because when you watch things as a kid, you like it and you're entertained and you watch things. But as an adult, you see, you notice things you didn't see before, the technical accuracy and what they were trying to do and the entertaining way they made things. And that's how I was experiencing Dragnet while I was watching it. I watched the entire, I didn't do it all at once. I didn't binge it. That would have, I would never have slept because it's so long. It's got so long of a run. But I watched it on and off for almost a year and got every one of them listened to and watched within
pretty
a year.
Cool.
And it was, I have a much bigger appreciation of the show. I don't know if we have time to do it, but today on the program, I didn't get to go see the Batman in the theater because I'll tell you why. And Alan will understand this because we talked about it at length off the air, and we were texting back and forth this week too because we neither one of us saw it in the theater, but we did. We noticed as soon, and I had planned on when it went to HBO Max to stream. I'd planned on watching it. I'm like, I'll watch it. I'll see it. When it was out in the theater, I struggled. I came close to seeing it, but I'm like, you know, I don't know that I want to go see it because I don't have a lot of confidence in DC and Warner. They've been floundering a lot lately, and I don't know if I want to go watch yet another version of Batman. They're trying to reinvent something else again with a new actor, new filmmakers and stuff, so I'll just pass on it. Maybe I'll just see it when it comes out streaming. Well, I did watch it on HBO Max two nights ago. We sat down and watched it, and you experienced the same thing I did. Me more than you. I think I was going into it with more like angst and like
almost like
you
were being forced to.
Yeah, I don't know. Watch this movie or we're going to kill you.
I don't want
to sound like a Batman villain. Watch this movie or I'll kill you. I am the TV killer. Well, we sat down and watched it, and you had a little trepidation too before going and seeing it too before we watched it. And after watching The Batman, directed by Matt Reeves and starring Robert Pattinson, the guy from Twilight, he was in a great movie with Willem Dafoe called The Lighthouse, which was very dramatic and atmospheric. I don't know if you got to see that or not.
I have not seen The Lighthouse.
If you ever watch The Lighthouse, it's really, you'll want to take a shower afterwards. It's one of those films. You're like,
I feel dirty.
I feel horribly dirty, and it's gritty, and it's disturbing. But it was well done. It was almost like a black and white modern day version of, when I watch it, I'm like, Stanley Kubrick would have directed this. He would have done this. This guy must have channeling Stanley or something. I was very impressed with especially Willem Dafoe. He's a great actor anyway. Guy can do anything. But Robert Pattinson was really good in that. It's a very dramatic role. And I've heard that he's a good actor in other things. I liked him. I thought his Cedric Diggory in Harry Potter was great. But still, he was just a young guy.
He was still young. He was great in Tenet.
And yeah, I haven't seen that yet, but I'd forgotten he was in that. Mm. But I looked up. I didn't know how old he was. I'm like, he still seems like a young guy to me. And he is young. He's younger than us. Everybody's younger than us. But he's 35, and that's not exactly a whippersnapper anymore. That's an adult. You know, he's knocking on 40's door eventually. So he is an established, you know, he's not a young dude anymore. So he's that 30-year-old Batman, you know, in the movie The Batman. He's just kind of been starting out, you know, early finding his way as Batman. And I was pleasantly surprised after we flashed the audience. I've got a review. We're going to flash the audience at the bottom of the hour coming up here with the news, the weird, the strange, and the bizarre. I got a review here from, there's a website called RogerEbert.com, the legendary movie reviewer. Remember Siskel and Ebert? They're both gone now, but his website still is in existence, and there are still people who review movies that he knew and trust, I guess, still reviewing movies on his website. Well, there's a reviewer named Christy Lemire on there, and she wrote a great, I was reading it the other day, and I was just searching just for the past 2 days. I'm like, I got to see and weed through all of these reviews for The Batman, and I want to try to maybe find one that sums up what I think, you know, because I want to, and it's a well-written review, because other people write reviews much better than I do, but I want to read her review, because for me, this review that she wrote is very fair, but it goes in lines a lot with the way I feel when I watch The Batman, the recent Batman movie. Now, you saw it at home on your flat screen. And tell everybody what you thought about it.
In 4K.
I didn't see it.
I streamed it in Atmos Surround, and it was...
I watched it in BK. That's
it was
all I
a
have.
Feast for the eyes, for the ears, and for the brain.
I can only imagine... The sound sounded good when I watched it streaming just with my sound bar. I can only imagine how it sounded in some sort of surround sound setting. It was probably amazing.
I got the text, do you have to listen to it so loud?
So that way you
help
know.
That it comes up through the floorboards. It doesn't sound that loud
in
here.
You need thicker boards on your floor.
It sounds good. Yeah. loved it. I had such hesitation. I even found myself going, do I really want to sit here for 3 hours? And then I said, well, I could always just stop.
You were like, is there something else I need to do right now?
You know, I mean, the tires need rotating. The lawn needs mowing. Changing. Dogs need to be washed. I mean, do I really? I honestly, when I hit play and the Warner Brothers logo comes up, I was like,
you know how long you're going to spend watching this movie because it's over 3 hours.
Yeah. I looked at him. I was like, okay. Okay. I know I got to start dinner in about 3 hours.
Yeah, see? That's
okay. What I was thinking. Let's just go ahead. 5 minutes after it started, I'm like, there's no way I'm turning this off. I actually said to myself,
so it's 5 minutes.
They're going to have to do something really terrible to screw up how they open.
Because sometimes they screw up the third act of film sometimes, you know?
Yeah. And I was. But they had me within the first 5 minutes. The cinematography and storytelling of the bat signal and watching three different crimes taking place and every one of those criminals going, wait a minute.
Did you hear that?
Wait a minute. They just put the bat signal on. Is it because of me? The atmosphere that Matt Reeves created in the directing of that movie.
Oh, yeah.
The pacing, the tension. The problem solving, the detective work.
The detective work, especially, yeah.
So good.
It was good. So
and it had
well done.
Just enough action to still keep it a comic book movie, but right. It wasn't just nonstop action. There's a lot of slowness, but it never feels like it's dragging to me.
It kind of felt balanced because we watched it on a weeknight, which meant we both needed to go to bed because we needed to wake up the next day. Mm-hmm. And we started at about 8 o'clock. When I was watching it, I found myself going, I never left the room. I watched the entire movie all the way through with one bathroom break, and that's all I did. I'll read the review for you after we flash the audience when we come back with the Batman.
We'll return after these announcements.
You're going to run into somebody new at Taco Bell.
Who are you?
He's Batman. And Taco Bell's got him. On 4 collectible Batman cups. Just buy a 32-ounce drink, and your cup, refills, and new cinnamon twists are all free.
I want you to tell all your friends about me.
Tell them to drive. Fly. Or just drop by today to collect your free Batman cups. Only at Taco Bell.
Friday, Wonder Woman shatters a hitman's disguise. Then, incredible suspense as a massive earthquake threatens a nuclear explosion. And the Incredible Hulk faces the toughest test of his life. Friday, starting at 8, 7 Central Mountain Time.
Tomorrow on CBS.
By the way, if you have seen The Batman and you want to give us a call today, you can. 770-386-1450 is our number. And tell us what you thought about The Batman if you saw it. I want to remind you that Rock and Shop right here in downtown Cartersville is celebrating today is, what is it, National
Record Store Day.
And I'm like, wow, that's awesome. All across America, if you got a local record store, especially here in Cartersville, if you live local, come up to Rock and Shop. There's new vinyl by classic artists and whatnot that are available. Yes, they are releasing stuff still on record.
And brand new stuff. People were in line for the Taylor Swift single.
I heard about that, yeah. And some other classic rock albums or classic rock groups are coming out with new releases too. So check it out. You can actually go and look for nationalrecordstoreday.com, I think is the website, something like that. And it will show a whole list of the albums that are coming out new that you can get by some of your classic rock artists or whatever artists that you like, and you can get them at these local record stores. And Eddie Brewster may check in with us later today. I've opened the invitation for him to come on the other day and talk about it a little bit. We can talk about some of our albums that we remember buying as a kid and ripping the plastic off and putting it on the record player. We can do that too, but it is National Record Store Day. Go out and celebrate it. Well, it's time that we flash the audience of the news, the weird, the strange, and the bizarre, and looky, looky, look at that. I got the first news. Flash. Yeah, there it is. Sorry, I think it's got a virus in there. From UPI, a British nonprofit that maintains culturally significant sites in England announced it is seeking 1,897 people to don vampire costumes in celebration of Dracula's anniversary.
Children of the night. What a mess they make.
English Heritage, which manages more than 400 cultural sites in the country, said it wants to break the Guinness World Record for the largest gathering of people dressed as vampires on May 26th at Whitby Abbey, a 13th century Gothic abbey that served as inspiration for Bram Stoker's classic vampire novel. The record currently stands at 1,039, set in Virginia, here in America, in 2011, so the attempt needs at least 1,040 vampires to succeed. Organizers said they are hoping to gather a total of 1,897 people to honor the 125th anniversary of Dracula, being published in 1897 by Bram Stoker, the author. Organizers said Guinness World Records has strict regulations for what counts as vampire garb. So listen to this. Participants will need to don black pants or skirts, black shoes, waistcoats, black capes or collared overcoats, and a set of artificial fangs. Okay, so in other words, we're gathering fake vampires, not real ones. If you're a real vampire, stay away from this. They don't want you there.
Gotcha.
They want the fake vampires, people dressed as vampires. Just to make that clear. Did you know I tried to read Bram Stoker's Dracula once, and I tried to read Mary Shelley's Frankenstein once, and I just couldn't do it because they're written in such a way where I'm like, I just can't.
It's
I
a
can't
different
do this.
Way of it writing. It's that it Elizabethan. Is.
I think I'd rather just watch the adaptation for film, I guess, to do.
Yeah.
And you know, Bram Stoker's widow, after he had died, when they made the 1922 movie, the first Dracula movie ever made was Nosferatu, the German silent film about the vampire with the bald head. And the dude they found that had the birth defects. He was like, so horrific looking and scary looking. She sued them back in the day because they just made that movie without even consulting them or paying anything. And she won. And that movie was ordered destroyed back in the day. But thank goodness some print survived and we can still watch it today because it is one of the most chilling silent films I've ever seen in my life. It really is. So little vampire sink your teeth into trivia there.
Ba-dum-bum.
Yeah.
I've got the next news. We headed to UPI.
Talk about vampires. I've had bunch of blood taken out of my arm, my physical, the other day. They gave me a shot in the right arm, took blood out of the left arm. So I was drinking the other day, went to the restaurant and had something to drink, and I was leaking like a pig.
Oh.
I was like, geez, I felt like I've been stuck.
Canadian researchers said an unusually bright fireball that lit up the night sky over Ontario likely left numerous meteorite fragments on the ground. The Physics and Astronomy Department at Western University in London, Ontario, said a network of sky cameras recorded the fireball streaking across the sky around 11:37 p.m. Sunday. The department said fragments of the meteor likely made it to the ground near the eastern shore of Lake Simcoe near Argyle. Vita said an analysis of the video indicates multiple small meteorites might have made landfall. From what I understand, Indiana Sean had booked a plane ticket.
He probably had. And you said what was spotted going across the sky? A fireball.
Bam, 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 bam.
Every time I hear that, I'm reminded of the cruise with the carnival. They played and danced to that in the cafeteria. It was so fun. I got the next news.
Nothing like a pit bull reference.
That's right, baby. Fireball. Another one from UPI. Doctors in Wisconsin were able to safely remove a tiny drill bit from inside a man's lung.
Huh?
After he inhaled the tool while undergoing a procedure at the dentist.
No!
So we needed the medical doctors to do something because he was at the dentist. That's pretty bad.
Tom Cozy,
he was 60 years old. He's 60 years old. Not was. He still is. He made it. Said he was getting a filling from a dentist in Illinois when he inhaled the tiny drill bit. I wonder if he had because you know how you really inhale before you sneeze? Maybe he had a sneeze. Doctors at Aurora Medical Center, Kenosha, Wisconsin, said the situation could have led to invasive surgery, but they decided to try a device that is typically used for early detection of cancer to attempt to pull the drill bit without surgery. Dr. Abdul Alarez, the pulmonary specialist who conducted the procedure, posted a video on YouTube, and you can check it. Just search for those tiny drill bit move from guy's lung. You can find it. Showing a YouTube video showing the bit being removed from the guy's lung. I'm like, wow. So they didn't have to cut him open, I guess.
That's crazy. They inserted a little microscopic
Yeah, I guess that's used to
tool.
Detect cancer.
And just plucked it out.
So now this tool has another usage. They can add another usage to this tool.
In case I ever decide to inhale a drill bit from the dentist.
Or anything else that's small.
I got a better idea. Just don't do it.
Yeah, just sometimes. Well, you know, the age that we're becoming, sometimes we do things that we don't plan on. It just kind of happens.
The age we're at, this side conversation, you have to now make up a better story for how you got the injury.
You really do.
Because if you said, well, I just sat down, and next thing you know, your knee pops, people go, what's wrong with you? You have to turn it into...
What happened to you? This T-Rex grabbed this woman, and I wrestled her away from him.
I rolled over in bed. Wait, what? You can't. You lose any credibility as a human being.
I pulled a muscle. How did you pull that muscle? I sneezed. Like, so really?
I coughed.
It was a heck of a cough.
What the heck
of a...
No, it was a cough. Massive...
It was a big cough. Really?
Yeah. No. I got the next news.
This is BK sneezed like 7 times the other day in a row, and I had to stifle a laugh because it was funny, and it's painful though. But she had 7 machine gun ones right in a row, and I'm like, that was awesome. Mm. I needed to report that to somebody.
Hey, this is for me, a Michigan man.
That's right.
Not this isn't about me, but I am a Michigan man too.
Well,
but a Michigan
everything's
man
about you.
Was awarded a Guinness. No, not everything.
According
about
to some
me.
People.
No, not everything. I don't want the bad press. No. I only want the good press.
Nate, right. It was about you when you ate that bad Harry Potter jelly bean and exhaled in front of your family.
Oh, my God.
And they're like, that skunk smells terrible, the skunk bean.
Oh. It actually earwax. Made my wife gag. She goes, okay, we got to stop. We have to stop right now. Terrible. We can't play anymore.
So the taste of it was not as bad as you exhaled.
Yeah, I almost imagine that must be what Limburger cheese must be like.
Because they always made fun of it on
horrid.
The Little Rascals. Yeah.
People are like, oh, it tastes good.
I've never had Limburger.
I've never had
before.
Limburger, but I'd try it.
I'd really try it.
All right.
It.
A Michigan man was awarded a Guinness World Record when the circumference of his tongue was officially measured at 4.8 inches.
Wow.
That's a big tongue. Dante Barnes of Battle Creek said he first realized his tongue might be unusual when he watched a video online of someone measuring their own tongue and decided to give it a try. Barnes's tongue circumference was officially measured at 4.8 inches, roughly the same size as a ping pong ball.
Wow.
He said the muscle doesn't give him any trouble during normal tasks. Barnes said he sees his tongue as just a source of pride, as does his wife.
Easy, steady. Watch it.
She's just proud of him. He wanted a Guinness record.
I do have a quote from him from an interview they did with him.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
BK on the air.
Now you can see why all of his friends are 14 years old.
Hey, what do you love about freshen up gum?
Love that? Where?
What do you love when you bite into one?
Freshen up freshens breath with a tingly liquid center. One bite squirts refreshment all over your breath.
Freshen your breath with freshen up. The gum that goes squirt.
Gum that squirt.
Wake up, campers. Time for breakfast.
Got it, Mom.
You can't have cookies for breakfast.
But you can have Cookie Crisp. You can have that crunchy cookie taste with lots of chocolatey chips.
Hey, it looks like little chocolate chip cookies
that stay crispy in milk.
It's part of a complete breakfast. So just remember this. You can have Cookie Crisp.
You can get 4 Superstar Baseball cards free in specially marked boxes of Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong Jr., and Cookie Crisp cereals. 33 cards in all.
To BK on the air. This is Mrs. BK, and I'm not listening now because, well, I sleep in every Saturday morning, but I'll catch him later on the BK Escape Pod podcast. Now, back to that man of mine, BK on the air. Mwah.
Little Steve Miller, Abracadabra. That may be one of the vinyl albums that you can buy at Rockin' Shop or your local record store today, as it's National Record Shop Record Store Day. You still want some vinyl? You don't even have to. If all the new stuff sold out and you get there late, buy an old album, because they've got a lot of old albums that you can buy. And I understand Eddie Bruce down there has one of those newfangled vinyl cleaners. I mean, he can put the record in the cleaner, get all the dust and everything off of it, and kind of smooth it over and stuff. And I'm sure he does that to every copy he's got. You can talk to him about it and find out. But I'm sure that all the albums are in good shape, and that's just one of the albums, Good Old Abracadabra by Steve Miller, that you might could pick up at Rockin' Shop today at National Record Store Day. I have the last news from UPI. Guinness World Record set a Chihuahua. Now, Al and I are both dog fans. We love fans.
Love dogs.
Love dogs. A Chihuahua in Florida named Toby Keith was dubbed the world's oldest dog, living at the age of 21 years and
so
66
far.
Days.
And he's still alive. Dog. Still kicking.
Gisela Shore of Green Acres said that she adopted Toby Keith.
She's not a character on Green Acres.
No, she's not. Oliver. Toby Keith adopted him from a shelter when he was only a few months old.
His tail's not curled.
She might have one like a little chihuahua.
She actually looked a little bit like Ava Gabor, this woman.
and the little dog, I think Ava Gabor's dog
hair,
in Green Acres was a Shih Tzu, I think. It was a dog.
A fuzzy dog.
I said that carefully, too. Shore said she started to suspect Toby Keith might be the oldest dog in the world when he turned 20. Guinness confirmed that Toby Keith's age was 21 and 66 days on March 16th of this year, confirming his status. Now, Chihuahuas, it says, typically live to be 12 to 18 years old. It's a long lifespan. I understand the smaller the dog, the longer they live.
Smaller dogs do tend to live a little longer, yes.
I don't know why that is. Does the blood has to not move as far because they're shorter?
I don't know why that is. Large people,
yeah.
Less wear and tear on the body.
That's right. The oldest dog ever recorded, though, by the way, was an Australian cattle dog named Bluey. Do you want to take a stab at how old this dog lived? Because so far, it's the oldest dog in history so far to be recorded. How many years did this dog live? You want to take a guess? I would never have guessed it.
I'll say something like 24, because that would be an extraordinarily long time for a
dog. This dog lived to the age of 29 years and 5 months. It almost made it 30 years,
wow.
This dog. And again, it wasn't a small dog. It was a bigger Australian cattle dog.
I want every dog to figure out how to live at least.
And you know
that
when
long.
That dog was recorded, his age was 1939. Was when that oldest dog died.
Wow,
and that's a long time for a dog.
You know what I will tell you? Things that I've learned being a dog owner. First of all, much like human beings, if you ride a human being, rode hard, put up wet, don't treat them well,
yeah,
you're not going to live as long.
Right.
So good diet. Good exercise, lots of love,
yes,
and medical attention.
Why did you get a dog to begin with?
Right.
To tie up in the backyard on a chain.
If your dog sits outside and has to figure out what to do with itself because nobody plays with it, you are the wrong dog owner.
And you go out and you buy the cheapest rot gut $20 for a 100-pound bag of this crappy food you can buy, and you just pour it in a giant bowl and feed the dog once a day, and just when that empties out, you just refill it again. You don't measure how much dog food you give your dog. I'll ask the question again. Why do you have one?
Right.
Why you're going to treat it like a cow, which they're not. Dogs are not cattle. They're not. Cattle are cattle.
Not.
That's different. I know people that have treated dogs like cattle. A dog is a part of your family, and if you can't realize that, do me a favor, just don't get one, because someone else will take that dog instead of you.
There's all of our dogs, except for one that developed had a genetic blood disorder and unfortunately died at four. Every one of our dogs has lived well beyond what they were supposed to.
And you would say a really good life. Too.
Had a really good life. our black dog that we had, the little small bat-looking dog.
Bat-looking dog, like a fruit bat, yeah.
Was almost 19.
Wow, see, that's a good long time.
Yeah, so, yeah, in fact, Rufus, the one that we had, and we had to put him down because he just was in so much pain. That's the thing, he probably could have lived another 6 or 7 months, but at some point you have to also be responsible. It's not an existence if you're just laying there, and you're in pain, and you're soiling yourself, okay? A human being doesn't want to be...
No.
That way.
Now, do me a favor, if you're gonna do that and you have a dog, take a little time to do a little research. You don't have to be like crazy about doing it, but we don't buy dog food for our dog that costs, you know, $200 for like a 5-pound bag. I can't afford to do that. You can spend however much you
there
want
is like
for
anything too extreme.
There's the gold standard where it's in the refrigerated section of the supermarket. But we did read a lot of research. You want to check out a website that I'm going to plug because I really like them. It's Dog Food Advisor. Look up Dog Food Advisor. You can sign up on that website to get alerts of dog foods that have been recalled or something, and things you might want to be on the lookout for. And they review dog foods and foods on there for your dog with ratings, and they're not paid by anybody. They do it independently. And we found a good couple of brand of dog foods that I give our dog that are middle of the road, really great, but it's not the rat gut crap full of corn and crap that you can get And just, and people go, oh my, you know, it's a dog. They can eat anything. No, they can't. So, and dogs, believe it or not, you ever seen their teeth before? They're descendant of wolves. They're meat eaters. You know,
they so don't have molars.
Yeah, you don't want to feed some. Oh, yeah, I got this great wheat grain dog food that's got, you know, total plant stuff in it. I'm like, well, that's fine if it's got it mixed with meat. And stuff like that. So there's a way to do it. Just do a little research and feed your dogs and take care of them, because that's your job, is to take care of them.
Yes,
they're not a wolf. They can't go out and live in the wilderness. They might could if you just let them go. They're very resourceful, but they're not wolves. They're domesticated dogs. They're domesticated canines.
They're members of the family. You can't say any better than that.
And don't ever abuse one in front of Alan and me.
Yeah,
because
that would be a mistake.
You're gonna be like, well, you ain't gonna do anything to me because you might go to jail if you do anything to me. I'm like, well, I'll go. I might just go anyway.
That dude came off like the third rope of the wrestling mat and pinned me on the ground.
I'll be sitting in a cell going, yeah, but I got him, though. He'll never do that again. I hope.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's against the law, too, by the way, to do things like that, to abuse aminals, as my dad used to say. Don't abuse aminals. They have feelings like we do. 770-386-1450 is our number. Let's go to the phones. Hello, it's BK on the air. Who's this?
Hey, man, it's Jeff.
Hey, Jeff. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good. We got a sign hanging up that says, all dogs are welcome. Some people are tolerant.
Some people are tolerant. Hey, that's a good man. I would like to put that on my house. Yeah. A lot of people will come over to see people with dogs, and they're like, could you do something about your dog? He's making me nervous. I'm like, why? He's just sitting there wagging his tail looking at you. I'm like, no, I'm not doing anything about it. He lives here. You don't. He's not doing anything threatening. I'm not going to do anything. Give me a break. You know, I've got a dog. Yeah, but they...
Well, my dog ruled this house.
That's the way they usually are. Hey, our dog, and I can't speak for Alan, but my dog has trained us. There's certain things that my dog will do that make me get up and do something. That means I'm trained, that he needs that, and I'm responding to that. So I think I think Pippa adopted us instead of us adopting her. It's really true.
Right. The dogs are the masters with the servants.
Well, you know what? I love dogs. And even Al and I joke about Halloween. We're like, if we could turn into any Halloween monster, for me, it would be the werewolf. Because not Frankenstein, not Dracula. I'd like to be the werewolf because I love dogs and canines so much that they're really cool.
Yeah,
so
if I had to be cursed to turn into a monster, it'd be a dog.
I don't care how painful it'd be. At least I'm a human during the day.
Oh,
so, that's right.
I do that when my wife walks in the room.
All the humans extend the beast at the dog.
Right. Well, I don't be abusive to dogs. So you do that when your wife walks into the room? Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, I do.
I turn into Thumper.
I do another dog thing. I go. That's what I do. So yeah.
We got my dog can't do there. That. My dog howls though.
Oh really? My dog was doing talk like Shakespeare day to day. She's very smart.
Ooh.
I got a dog that snorts like a pig when it wants attention.
Oh, really?
That's funny.
Yep.
Now, funny you should mention that, Jeff. I do that to my wife. So, yeah. Talking about doing things with the wife. Buddy, it's always good to hear from you. Dogs are our friends. They're part of the family.
There you go.
Thank you, buddy. Talk to you
See
later.
Ya.
All
See
right,
ya.
Bye. I have family members that I like my dog more than them. I'll just admit it right now on the radio.
I say this often. A dog's going to have a mistake every now and then, going to have an accident.
Well, of course.
Might actually, and it may not even be the dog's fault. I may have been cutting up chicken, forgot to wash my hands when I kind of picked up that piece of paper, and I moved the paper from one side of the room to the other, and that dog goes, that's chicken paper now.
It's got chicken all over it.
I'm like, what'd you chew up the paper
chicken
for?
Chicken all over it.
Well, it smelled like chicken. But I will tell you, the few, and it's very few times that the dog has done something, I was like, people in my life have done far worse.
Oh, of course, yes, very
so
much so.
I will not have this be a problem.
Exactly.
Our relationship is still good.
Now, I've told members of my family.
Like anybody else, I have to say, okay, that was bad.
Right. Teach
and
them.
They do that thing like, oh.
I'm sorry,
like,
Daddy.
Look, that was bad.
But I'll do it again if you turn your back.
But I love you.
But I love you.
Just like when I was with my kids.
Right. They're our kids.
You were bad.
They are.
You need to be punished, but I still love you.
One of my family members, I told a story at a reunion. I'm like, yeah, we came home the other day, and she had pulled five or six dirty clothes items out of the dirty clothes hamper in the closet, just pulled them out, and our clothes were strewn down the steps and in the living room when she was younger or whatever, and she still does it from time to time.
There's a reason for
but
that.
But she did not damage them. She didn't rip them up. She just had them.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got home, she was lying on a T-shirt. And, you know, when you look up the reason why they do that, you're like, oh, how right. can you get mad? They haven't heard anything. She's just like, she misses you.
They miss you, and they want your scent.
And they want you there, and that's why. How can you get mad at that? And how
cannot.
Can you, how can you hit a dog for doing something bad, just like to the point of abusing them?
Right.
I'm like, all the dog, and my dad even said that when I was younger. He goes, when someone hits a dog to try to correct them, all that dog knows is you're hitting them. And they're not like a human. They can't go, oh, you see this? I'm going to rub this dog's nose in its poop and learn. I'm going to learn it not to do that no more. Mm-hmm. That does nothing. That does nothing. There's other ways to do it. All you got to do is learn yourself how to train them.
Mm-hmm.
And it works. Every dog I've ever had, I'm like, I just took the time out to train them not to do something, and it worked every time. Some breeds are more stubborn than others.
Some are.
Eventually works.
Like, don't get a husky if you don't want a sneaky dog. But they're so much fun.
And don't get a pot hound that's bred to track bears and kill them if you don't want every animal in the backyard killed that are small. It's BK on the Air.
And now, these messages.
Burger time, kennel ration, burger time.
Hungry time, kennel ration, burger time. Always an easy time, kennel ration, burger time. Zip the pouch and pour it in a bowl time. Serve it up in just about no time.
There's quite a difference between Kennel Ration Burger and the other leading brand. Many people serve the other leading burger like this. With Kennel Ration Burger, just zip and pour, and it's ready to eat. No breaking necessary.
Kennel Ration Burger time, always an easy time. Kennel...
Gather round the Jiffy Pop.
Gather round the Jiffy Pop.
The Jiffy Pop.
The Jiffy Pop.
Gather round the Jiffy Pop. The family fun treat.
And here's great fun, a Jungle Book Magic Picture Kit free in specially marked packages of Jiffy Pop popcorn. Each kit's a different scene from Walt Disney Productions' full-length feature, Jungle Book. Four fun scenes in all.
Here comes the Jiffy Pop.
Fresh, hot, and delicious every time because you make it yourself.
Gather round the Jiffy Pop. The family fun treat.
Classes. Classes Rescue Rangers. Lassies. Classes Rescue Rangers. Lassies. Classes Rescue Rangers. Lassies Rescue Rangers.
Stand by to receive our transmission.
Hey, we're back. It's BK on the Air here on AM 1450 and 100.3 FM WBHF. The dog talk continued even when we're on a break.
Yep.
We love talking
Non-stop.
About our doggy fur babies that are at home, part of our family. We love them. And every one of them, you know, I've never had a dog just alike. They're all so different.
I could be gone 2 hours or 2 days or 2 weeks. They all still act at the top of the stairs like they haven't seen me in forever.
I've heard now the way dogs think. I've heard that dogs have no idea of the passage of time. They can't tell between 2 minutes and 2 hours. They just know that you're away.
You're not here.
And you're coming back.
You're back!
And if you're away. Oh, you're back!
Ah!
I'm so happy to see you. You've been gone for days. No, just 2 minutes.
You know how you see in movies when you have like that special birthday, you walk into a room and you're like, surprise!
Right.
And you just feel so good. Look at all the love.
Right.
Dogs do that to me every time I come home.
I know. I love
every
that.
Every single time.
I
it's
love
like,
them.
Surprise!
And they say that dogs also have no idea of physical size.
Oh, they don't know their own size.
It's only stature and dominance they know. That's why you'll see a Chihuahua, you know, scared the death out of a German Shepherd sometimes.
Or in my house, a lab.
Yeah.
90-pound lab goes,
oh. You're the boss, okay. Only because you act like the boss, not because you're bigger.
If our 12-pound Chihuahua miniature pincher mix is in the middle of the hallway, and our 85-pound to 90-pound yellow lab is on the one side of the hallway, and we're in our room, and that little dog, I hear, oh, what? Like, what are you crying for? And basically what he's saying is, the mean dog's blocking the road.
But she's tinier than you.
Like,
she's
you
much
can
smaller.
Fit all of Lola in your mouth.
I don't
know
that.
Have you seen her teeth?
Have you heard her bark?
I'm like, yes.
And growl.
Yeah. She's so mean.
This has been Dog Talk here with BK and Alan. Tune into our new podcast called Doggy Speak, available at all your podcasters.
It's the Dog Pod.
Hey, we could do it. We could do a dog show. I mean, it would be kind of easy to do because from our
I wouldn't have to do any prep.
No. It's called personal experience. Right. It's called canine know-how. That's what we would use. Hey, how do you think I do this show? I didn't go to school for this. I have no college degree
in
retro geekiness.
It was the school of life.
Well, the only school I attended was television after school at home. That's how I got to know and waste all my time. We were talking earlier about the Batman. We saw the Batman. It's streaming on HBO Max, and we got to watch it. We didn't see it in the theater. I don't know if I want to read this entire review because it's kind of long. I'm going to hit on some of the points on here. This is a review written by Christy Lemire from RogerEbert.com about the Batman. Now, you see if you agree, which I think you will.
Okay.
Listen to some of this review that I'm going to kind of pick and choose some things here that she wrote and see if you agree. Director Matt Reeves' The Batman isn't a superhero movie. Not really. All the trappings are there. The Batmobile, the rugged suit, the gadgets, courtesy of trusty butler Alfred. And, of course, at the center is the Caped Crusader himself, brooding, tormented, seeking his own brand of nighttime justice in a Gotham City that's spiraling into squalor and decay. Hey, I'm with it so far.
Mm-hmm.
She's right on. But in Reeves' confident hands, Director Reeves, everything is breathtakingly alive and new. As director and co-writer, he's taking what might seem like a familiar tale and made it kind of epic, even operatic. And his Batman is more akin to a gritty 70s crime drama than a soaring and transporting blockbuster, it says. With its kinetic, unpredictable action, it calls to mind films like The Warriors, as well as one of the greatest films of all the genre, The French Connection with Gene Hackman. And I'll add a horrific bit of Silence of the Lambs as well. That's what I put in there. And with a series of high-profile murders driving the plot, it sometimes feels as if the Zodiac Killer is terrorizing the citizens of Gotham. Good so far, aren't
mm-hmm.
we? And yet, despite these touchstones, it's an unmistakably Matt Reeves film. He accomplished here what he did with his gripping entries in the Planet of the Apes franchise, creating an electrifying, entertaining spectacle, but one that's grounded in real emotional stakes. This is a Batman movie that's aware of its own place within pop culture, but not winking meta fashion. Rather, it acknowledges the comic book character's lore only to examine it and reinvent it in a way that's both substantial and daring. The script from Reeves and Peter Craig forces his hero to question his history as well as confront his purpose. And in doing so, he creates an opening for us viewers to challenge the narratives we cling to in our own lives. And with Robert Pattinson taking over the role of Bruce Wayne, we have an actor who's not just prepared, but hungry to explore this figure's weird and dark instincts. This is not the dashing heir to a fortune prowling about kicking butt in a cool costume like the old Bruce Wayne. This is Bruce Wayne detached and delusioned. He's 2 years into his tenure as Batman, tracking criminals from high above Wayne Tower, an inspired switch from the usual sprawl of Wayne Manor, the home of Bruce Wayne, suggesting an even greater isolation from society. Quote, "They think I'm hiding in the shadows," he intones in the opening voiceover, "but I am the shadows." In the harsh light of day, Pattinson gives us hungover indie rock star vibes, if you think about it. But at night, you can see the rush he gets from swooping in and executing his version of vengeance, even beneath the tactical gear and eye black makeup that he's wearing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, blah, 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 blah. Pattinson and Kravitz, Zoe Kravitz, who plays Catwoman, Selina Kyle, have insane chemistry with each other. She is his match physically and emotionally every step of the way. There is no flirty, purring Catwoman. She's a fighter and a survivor with a loyal heart and a strong sense of what's right, or more aptly, what she wants and thinks is right. She's part of the murderer's row of supporting performers who all have meaty roles to play. Jeffrey Wright is the rare voice of idealism and decency as the eventual Commissioner Gordon. He's not Commissioner Gordon yet in this film. He's just starting out, much like Bruce Wayne. John Turturro is low-key chilling as crime boss Carmine Falcone.
So good.
But very good. Andy Serkis as Alfred, who also played Caesar in Reeves' Planet of the Apes movies, I'd forgotten about that, brings a paternal wisdom and warmth as Alfred. Colin Farrell is completely unrecognizable as the sleazy, villainous Cobblepot, Oswald Cobblepot, better known as the Penguin. Yeah. And Paul Dano is flat out terrifying as the Riddler, whose own drive for vengeance provides the story's spine. It goes on to say, and a shout out in a pitch black hallway illuminated only by the blast of shotgun fire in a scene that actually syncs up with the music. He starts, you know, when he's in that sewer hallway and the machine gun goes off every minute and lights up the
scene.
Such
a great
scene. It's like in sync with the film's music and stuff. And it's really a really cool scene. I agree with the bulk of this review. I mean, I can't say that any of that's wrong, that this person reviewed.
Well, she didn't even really review in the sense of what worked and what didn't.
Well, I edited a lot of it out because it's such a long review.
What she was describing, though, is exactly why the movie works.
She said, it's not to say the Batman is a total downer. Far from it. Despite the overlong running time of nearly 3 hours, this film is that it's constantly gripping and holds your interest. And it's got a really cool Batmobile, too, she says, in parentheses.
So, oh, yeah.
There you go. It was, again, best my favorite Batmobile since maybe the Michael Keaton one as well. I loved this Batmobile because it looked like something he would have made.
It was cool.
And drive it. So,
got to say, it was cool.
Two thumbs up to the Batman movie. It's not the best one ever made, but it's far from the worst, and it's the best in years.
It's up there.
I really liked it. I was surprised by how much
it may be my second favorite.
I might watch it again and like it even more. I don't know. It's BK on the Air. Stay tuned. We got more when we come back.
Kids never give up.
Kids are kids. Kids are kids, it's true.
Flipped.
Kids will do things only kids will do.
Almost.
And moms are moms. They know what's fun for kids.
Maybe Mom will make us some Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid unsweetened in my sugar gives them fruity flavors and vitamin C. Besides, soda's about three times the price.
That hits the spot.
Moms know Kool-Aid is the one for kids.
Kool-Aid brand soft drink mix.
You remember Goldilocks, the kid who used to take her meals at the Three Bears place? Nowadays, she heads for
Shakey's
with 21 kinds of great pizza and even more kinds of fun.
This is what I call a fun place.
We serve fun at Shakey's, also pizza.
Shakey's!
It's okay if you don't understand what he's talking about. He probably doesn't either. It's BK on the Air on AM 1450, FM 100.3, and online using the TuneIn Radio app.
That's right. Yes, we're back. It's BK on the Air. Let's do a little, what have I got here? Yeah, let's go to On This Day in History today. We'll take care of that little nostalgic history here. April the 23rd, today, in 1597, William Shakespeare's The Merry Wives of Windsor is first performed, believe it or not. So, there we got a few Shakespeare anniversaries today, but that one, I didn't know if Alan knew about that one. Today's the first time The Merry Wives of Windsor was performed. It was on this day.
So he did it as a birthday present to himself.
Yes, in 1931, the gangster film The Public Enemy, starring James Cagney, premiered on this day in 1931. Great James Cagney movie. Another great actor who I thought was just a throwaway persona because he was always made fun of. We're doing the wrong one. That's Edward G. Robinson.
True.
James Cagney is you dirty rat.
But
when I watched his films finally and got into them, fantastic actor. He really was. 1953. On this day in history, April the 23rd, Shane, starring Alan Ladd and Gene Arthur, is released. 1972, on this day in history, April 23rd, Apollo 16, astronauts explore the moon's surface, long after Apollo 13. 1985, on this day, New Coke debuts. On this day in 1985, they announced it's changing its secret flavor formula, and who knows, we're still to this day wondering, was it on purpose or was it a big mistake? We don't know. There's two schools of thought on that. It might have been a giant marketing ploy.
Seems
just to
be
help
a
out.
Large body of evidence that said we want to replace this real sugar with high fructose
corn
syrup.
But it really
syrup.
Helped them, though. Classic Coke came back and just took the world by storm, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's all the time. I think you can still get New Coke in certain markets still. I think it's still out
really?
There somewhere, but I'm not sure. On this day in history, April 23rd, 2018, Marvel's Avengers Infinity War premieres on this day back in 2018. Part one of a two-part story.
Might require a rewatch.
Birthdays on this day today. In 1564, he was born William Shakespeare.
Hello,
was
Will.
Born on this day. He died in 1616.
I get to call him Will.
I call him Bill.
Bill. Wow, you're even more familiar.
Even more familiar with him. He doesn't like it, though. He doth stab my butt with a sharp instrument when I do that. 1928, who was born on this day? Shirley Temple was born. Child actress, went on to be in politics. I think she was in Congress for a while at one point.
She
died
yes,
in 2014.
In California.
1930 on this day, the first Rudy Wells on the $6 Million Man was born on this day. Alan Oppenheimer, you know, the guy who helped build Steve Austin. No. he went on, Skeletor, countless other cartoon characters Alan Oppenheimer talked for. He talks for so many cartoon characters, Smurfs. Born on this day in history. Today is one of the most classic rock and roll guys. Died in 1988, but he was born on this day in history. He was one of the Traveling Wilburys, Roy Orbison, born on this day. Today is also the Bionic Man himself. We just talked about him. Lee Majors' birthday is today. He shares it with Rudy. Alan Oppenheimer, same birthday. His neural name is Harvey Lee Yearly. Is Lee Majors' real name. American fill-in TV actor. $6 Million Man, The Big Valley, classic Western television series, and The Fall Guy. Don't forget The Fall Guy. I didn't watch The Fall Guy because I was so used to seeing Lee as the $6 Million Man. When he was on The Fall Guy, he just got beat up all the time. And I'm like, why isn't he? What's wrong with him?
I love the whole concept of The Fall Guy.
But it was great. I'm sure I might like it if I were to watch it now. Here's another birthday today. Herbie Villachez tattoos. It's his birthday today, but unfortunately he can't celebrate it because he died in 1993. He was also, remember, he was Nick Knack in The Man with the Golden Gun. James Bond. Today, in 1949, Joyce DeWitt was born. It's her birthday today. She was Janet on Three's Company. And it's her birthday as well. Today is Eddie Van Halen's ex-wife birthday.
Valerie Bertinelli.
It's her birthday today, too. One Day at a Time, Hot in Cleveland. She's actually on a show that my wife watches. It's a cooking show where kids cook. It's a competition for kids cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And these kids know more than I would. They've forgotten more about cooking than I would know. They're so good at it. And they're only like 8 to 13 years old.
Wow.
They're cooks. And she's one of the judges on the show, along with the one guy that does the cupcake show, too, on there. She watches that a lot. So Valerie's still working. So it's a national day somewhere every day. Today is Al and I were talking about dogs earlier. Today is National Lost Dogs Awareness Day today. So I talk about seeing those videos pop up on Facebook and wherever about finding abused or lost dogs or hurt dogs on the side of the road. And I have to skip through it toward the end because I know it's one of those where it's going to have a happy ending. And I just skip through the bad part. Let's just see him at the end. Let's see how he's running around and having a good time. So, and I am. If I'm ever driving around and see a puppy on the side of the road, I'll stop. Because I'm like, I can't let this little puppy, especially if I'm out in the middle of nowhere. And you know, she's going to get mad if I do it and bring it home. I'm like, well, even if I found it, I can still take it to the pound and they can take care of it. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if we can keep it or not, but we'll look into it. So we always do that. Today is National Picnic Day today. So I know you like going on a picnic from time to time.
Sure.
Today is National Take a Chance Day. Well, that's every day I turn the switch on to this microphone. I take a chance.
Is that every Saturday. Is that the ABBA song?
It could be. Take a chance on me. And today is National Talk Like Shakespeare Day. So give us a little bit, Alan Shakespeare. What do you think about Talk Like Shakespeare?
Talk
Day?
Like Shakespeare.
Yes.
This show reminds me of a line. It is as thin of substance as the air and more inconstant than the wind.
Is that a good thing?
It just depends. Not a lot of depth.
I sounded like Kirk in Star Trek IV, where he takes he goes back in time to San Francisco and he's got the glasses McCoy gave him so he can see, and they need money because they're back in the 20th century, and he takes them to this antique shop and he goes, well, you know, I can pay you for those glasses, but you'd get more if the lenses were still intact. He goes, I'll give you $100, and Kirk's like, is that a lot? Then he cuts to a scene of him giving the money to the rest of the crew, and he's like, all right, now that's all there is, so don't splurge.
Yeah. Well, I love the line. He goes, I'll be getting them back as a gift later. So it's the beauty.
It's the beauty. It's a time paradox.
I'm going to get them right back.
And today is National Record Store Day. We talked about it earlier. So visit your local record store. And, you know, you want to start. Hey, if you want to do it, start a vinyl collection again. There's ways to do it. They have some really nice, affordable turntables now that you can play records on still.
They also have some very expensive turntables
now. They even have some where you can take vinyl and transfer them and burn them to a CD, even, or a flash drive.
Why?
That you can do. Well,
just why?
Know. Why would you do that? Because just buy the CD.
Why
would you want to do it? Now, here's why. The only reason I could think you could do that is if you have vinyl that has never been released on CD yet, and there may be some, you might want to do it that way. When I bought vinyl as a kid, records, I didn't call them vinyl as a kid. I said, it's a record.
Right.
That's a record. I would take them and to help, because when you played vinyl back in the day on your stereo with your needle, you could wear records out. They become worn if they were played over and over again, because every time you drop that needle on that record and play the grooves, it would spread the grooves out a little bit more. You know, it would take hundreds of times to play it, probably, or a lot to wear them out finally, or they'd become damaged. You'd have a skip or a crack in it or something.
It tends to be more user.
You're listening to one song, and every now and then you hear a through the whole song. I would take them and transfer them to cassette tape. I'll take the record, record it on my own cassette, and listen to that in the car, because I didn't have a record player in the car. That way I saved my vinyl from being worn out, and I'd play the vinyl when I was at home. So that was kind of my way of doing it. Now, you can check out Rockin' Shop here locally in Cartersville. Eddie Bruce is down there, and the lines are around the corner when I got in this early this morning around 9 o'clock. And
it was crazy.
I think he opened at 6 this morning,
didn't he?
He opened at 8. Okay.
That's
a long time.
At 6:30. And there were at least 40
Oh, you mean they're already in line at that point?
In the park.
Oh,
I'm like, where am I going to park?
And he was 2 hours from opening at that point. That's great. I hope it's successful for him. He's a great guy. It's a great store. Check it out. There was nothing like it back, and I couldn't buy it when I was a kid. We had record collection that my parents already had. But when I was a kid and started getting allowance or my first job and I could buy my own stuff, there was nothing like hearing that song on the radio and going, okay, I need to get that album, or I need to go down and get that 45. Of that song.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I didn't buy a lot of 45s. I didn't own a lot of 45s. I usually just bought the album.
You went and got the shingle.
That's right. It's a shingle. Thank you, Sean.
Sean.
One ping only. Not that kind. But I'd get home, rip that plastic off of it, and put it on, and drop the needle for the first time and start listening to it. I'm like, oh, there's other songs on here. That's great. Sometimes you wind up getting a good album with a lot of good songs than ones that you didn't like. And sometimes back in the 80s, early 80s, when I'd buy an album, much like you probably, I'm like, oh, the hit off this album is the only good song.
Mm-hmm.
So I've spent $12
that
when I should have just bought the single.
Now,
that
money.
Wasn't always the case if it was by a group that you absolutely loved anyway. So that was different. Like,
well,
like if you bought a Pink Floyd album, you knew probably you're going to, 9 times out of 10, you're going to like the whole album.
Correct.
You know, if I bought like a whatever, you know, albums of artists that I really love, I kind of thought, I'm probably going to like all the songs on here because I just like those guys.
But then there was that. There's those artists that tried to change.
And they would just come out with a bad album.
I did that with Queensryche.
Right.
I was just
really?
Every album is like, gets better and better and better. And then there was an album that was okay, but and then there was an album that was like, there's a couple of, and then there was the album that I bought that I'm like, every song is horrid.
Oh, yeah.
And I stopped listening to the
new And then
stuff.
Later in life, I've given them a chance. I'm like, well, I like that group, but I only own their greatest hits. I've tried listening to their albums, and I've found out by this certain group, I only like their hits. I don't like their other albums or whatnot. Which put me in mind of that old show that was on VH1 for a while. It's old now because it's gone. Did you ever see the show Bands Reunited on VH1?
No, I didn't. You were telling me about it before.
It's on YouTube. They get a lot of them on YouTube. It's where they would take an album cover and try to visit. They try to locate every member of a band that has since broken up from like the 80s or something. And he's trying to get them back together to do one performance in front of a bunch of their fans at a venue somewhere. And the way he'd get them to commit, he would go meet them and go, here, if you sign your name on the front of this, one of your albums that we got, that means you're committed to doing this reunion. And he'd get them to do it, and he'd say, look, everyone else has signed it but you. Mm-hmm. Will you please join? Someone didn't want to do it. They had bad feelings still from doing it. But a lot of them did. So it was a good show.
We will return after these messages.
Your power from K-Tel is hot off the charts. 20 fantastic hits, original stars, E-L-O.
It's a living thing.
England Dan and John Ford Coley.
That's our forever.
Cooper, War, Elvin Bishop, Boss Gag, and Kiss.
You'll be a hard luck woman.
Blue Oyster Cult. Brass Construction, ABBA, Silver Convention, Diana Ross, and Wild Cherry.
Music, wild boy.
Kenny Nolan.
I like tweet.
Doobie Brothers. It's Pure Power. 20 super hits. $6.99 from K-Tel. Paper cassette, $7.99.
Hey, Melissa, you're not going to believe this. My music is on cable TV. It's on VH1. Video Hits 1.
Smokey, hot news. My music's on VH1.
Hey, Stevie, I'm so excited. My music's on the very hot one, VH1.
I just called.
My music's on the hot one, the very hot one, VH1. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on cable TV.
Hello, Mr. Cable Operator.
We want our music.
Like I picked the wrong week to quit amphetamines.
Hey, we're back. It's BK on the air. We're back. We're running out of time. How am I going to get all this in? I mean, I really need to look into making this show 4 hours. I've been trying my best to do it. Or do it weeknights or something like that. You know, I pulled this up because I reported on this day in history that today is Lee Major's birthday. And for me, The $6 Million Man was a great television series. Probably one of the best as a kid growing up. Because like it or not, The $6 Million Man, to me, you think about the premise, he's a superhero. Just like Superman or Batman or someone.
Kind of,
he's
yeah.
just a superhero that happens to be a bionic human being. Well, the Festival de Television from Monte Carlo talked to him about, I guess it was several years ago, and asked him about The $6 Million Man, and he had a lot of cool things to say about it.
Why do you think The $6 Million Man became such a part of pop culture around the world, not just in the States?
Well, it was a show that really I'm kind of proud of, the fact that it was a show that from grandparents down to grandsons could gather and watch the show together. It was a relatively nonviolent show, not a lot of bloodlet or violence as there is today in a lot of the shows that our kids are growing up with. So I'm kind of proud of the fact that, in fact, all my career, I've done about 7 series, and most everything I've done has been family-oriented. The Fall Guy, which was another series I did, that was the same. It was an enjoyable series that the family could sit down and watch. So for that, I'm kind of proud.
And you've also kept working. You've done spots on more series in more recent years. How would you say television has changed since when you first started?
Well, when I started, there were only three networks in the United States. And it was a very competitive time because only so many shows could get on the air. So to have done probably 4 series during that period, that was quite nice. Now you have over 100 cable outlets and so many networks that the competition is not quite as stiff. But I think what a lot of people like, but some I think it's hurt television a little bit as far as the quality, is the reality shows that we have today. Some of them are, let's face it, some of them are relatively kind of stupid, I think, you know. And I don't keep up with the Kardashians and those type of shows. So, but there are some good dramas on that I enjoy, but they're generally on HBO, Showtime, and such.
Words of wisdom from Lee Majors. I agree with just about everything he said.
I could have said that exact same thing, and it would have been like, wow, we are two of the same mind.
And use the same word he did, stupid. They're stupid.
Yeah, I don't keep pretty up stupid. With the Kardashians. You're right. I don't care.
No, and then neither should a lot of other people, too, by the way.
If anybody thinks reality TV is real, you're also stupid.
Yes. I told people, I said, I think the only real reality television show on television and always has been is Cops. You watch Cops, that's stuff unfolding right before your very eyes.
Which is why that's no longer on TV. Well, I guess they brought it back on another.
I think they did, but I think
some platform.
One of the cameramen, I think, got killed on Cops once in a horrible situation where he just was in the way, something happened, or he was horribly injured. That's proof right there that it's pretty... that is pretty real in itself. Well, you know that Doctor Strange is right around the corner before it comes out. Doctor Strange with the MCU. But another Doctor Strange is now available on Blu-ray.
Tomorrow night, reach into the unknown with Doctor Strange.
Do you believe in evil?
You're telling me you're a sorcerer.
Don't defy me, Stephen, or I'll take my pleasure from you in another way.
John Mills is the power of good. Jessica Walter is the power of evil. And mankind's fate hangs in the balance. Peter Hooten stars in Doctor Strange, tomorrow night at 8, 7 Central and Mountain Time.
Only on CBS at the time, Doctor Strange. They did make a movie, yes, a pilot movie for a television series for Doctor Strange back in 1978. Marvel and CBS put it together. But you can get that now. It's on Blu-ray. It was released on April the 26th for $26.98. Some prices may vary. Available on ShoutFactory.com, but it's only exclusive to 1,500 copies. It's one of those, they're not going to make a bunch of them and lose money. They're going to see if there's an interest first and then make, buy all you want. We'll make more, they says. Enter a world filled with sorcerers, powerful supernatural forces, and bizarre enchantments as the famed Marvel superhero Doctor Strange comes to life to battle the forces of evil. So I did see that version of Doctor Strange. I did not see it when it was on. But I did get to see it once, and I had a videotape copy of it for a long time, and it didn't follow exactly the comic book of Doctor Strange either. But it was, again, a pilot show for a television series that didn't work out because Marvel had a big success with The Incredible Hulk on television. That was their big hit back in the late 70s, and it was a great, the fugitive-like
TV show.
As far
as live action
series, it was really good. And they thought, well, why don't we try some other Marvel things? They even tried Spider-Man, too, The Amazing Spider-Man.
Did they try The Avengers?
I don't think they tried
Wasn't there an Avengers movie?
No, there was a Justice League TV show that ABC did once that didn't
make
it.
I thought there was an attempt to make an Avengers movie.
There was a Doctor Strange. There was also tried Captain America, too. They made two or three Captain America films for TV in the late 70s.
I remember
that. Brown, and they tried to turn into a series, and it didn't make it. The Doctor Strange, I guess, test audience didn't go well with the ratings on CBS, so it was never picked up as a series either. Spider-Man did run for a season, I think, on CBS, but it wasn't that. They were all kind of disappointing because some of them that put it together didn't quite get what they were. It's like, okay, you get the Hulk. The Hulk can be done because you don't need a bunch of supervillains. Just turn him into the fugitive and just let him get turned into the Hulk when people would beat him up and stuff like that and make him mad as he was hitchhiking across the USA. That worked. And Lou Ferrigno, he turns into the big Hulk. That worked. It was a greatly written series as well. But if you get a chance and you want this copy just out of just curiosity's sake of Doctor Strange, you can go to shoutfactory.com and order a copy of Doctor Strange.
It's on Blu-ray.
Because now, I mean, with the see, that's what happens. Something old will get released and remastered because something new about him is coming out and is like, well, really? We own the rights to the old stuff? Let's just go ahead and release that because people eat it up. The fans will buy that too.
There's someone back there going, someone's going to mistake this for the other thing.
Right. And then when they got those people too, they'll buy it as well. It's
like, quick, put it on the shelf.
Wait a minute. And there's no return policy.
Exactly.
You can't return it. So.
People are going to think they're getting the movie in the theater right now.
Is that how he talks?
They all have something.
And you're right, because the label of the Blu-ray doesn't show the guy's face. It just shows the Doctor Strange silhouette behind light. So they can't really tell who it is. Mm-hmm. Is Doctor Strange like, is that one I missed? I need to get that one. You're right. So that's funny. 770-386-1450 is our number if you want to call in. If you've seen the Batman or want to weigh in on everything, call us. We're a live talk show. You can call. I'll take calls. The closer it gets to release, the more I'm seeing about it, and the more scenes that I've seen from Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, even some of the scenes and the camera angles, I'm looking at them closely now as a lover of filmmaking, and I'm sitting there looking at them. I'm like, this looks like Sam Raimi camera angles. This looks like it's going to be a Sam Raimi production all the way. Because, you know, after Spider-Man was over, when his Spider-Man jaunt was over, he kind of returned into horror again. He did a movie called Drag Me to Hell, which was actually pretty over the top, scary. And then he did a movie called, what was that movie with Greg Kinnear and Kate Blanchett he did? See, someone's screaming at me because they know it. It was set in Louisiana, and it had Keanu Reeves in it. Oh, what was it? Let me look it up here because I got the computer. It was good. I liked it. She could tell the future. She could tell the future. It was called, let's see, The Gift. Did you see The Gift?
I never saw The Gift.
It was really good. It had J.K. Simmons is in it as the sheriff. It's actually very well done. If you can watch The Gift, you would like it. I think you'd like it.
The MCU exists today because Sam Raimi showed you can make it work.
Right, but did you know I found out what movie pulled Marvel out of bankruptcy and helped them get back on the right track and to be solvent again? Was Blade with Wesley Snipes.
That movie was so successful.
It is coming back as a Disney Plus.
Fox, wasn't it?
You know, as a Disney Plus show, I think. They're coming
right
back.
We'll return after these messages.
Raisin Bran?
That's right. It's crispy wheats and raisins with lots of big plump raisins. They're so big you can see the difference.
Hey, this isn't Raisin Bran.
No, sir. It's crispy wheats and raisins with big golden crisp wheat flakes and a touch of honey.
Hey, this isn't Raisin Bran.
No, ma'am. This is crispy wheats and raisins, part of a good family breakfast.
Hey, this is crispy wheats and raisins.
Hey. This isn't Raisin Bran.
the Lone Ranger.
Shaving makes my face feel like it's been in a knockdown fight with an outlaw. That's why I'm glad there's a skin conditioner in Aquavelva. Right, Tano?
That's right, Kimasabi. Aquavelva does more than just smell nice. It makes face feel like quiet lake, cool and smooth.
Well said, Tano.
Aquavelva. It does a lot more than just smell nice.
Are you still there?
It's okay if you don't understand what he's talking about. He probably doesn't either. It's BK on the Air on AM 1450, FM 100.3, and online using the TuneIn Radio app.
That's right. Hey, we're back. It's BK on the Air here. I've got a special guest in the studio. Today is National Record Store Day. If you haven't visited your local record store today, please do so, because if you collect vinyl, you know all about it. But you're looking to get back into vinyl. Yes, they do still make records, and they still have old records that are in great shape that you can buy that you probably got rid of and said, oh, I'd really like to have some records back. That'd be nice. You can do that. Visit your local record shop. But our local one here in Cartersville is Rockin' Shop. And I have the Grand Poobah Jedi Knight guru of the Rockin' Shop in studios right now, Eddie Bruce. Hello, Eddie.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad you're here. Today is when I got to the, I know when Alan got to the studios this morning, he saw a line. And when I got here at 9 o'clock, there was still a line outside. So what's going on down to Rockin' Shop today?
Well, we had about, there was over 50 people in line when we opened at 8. I got a text from one of the guys at about 4:45, he said there was like 16 people in line. I think the first person showed up at like 5 after 12. So
wow,
we've had people in line all night, but it's just been a great day. There were a lot of great titles coming out today, reissues, new releases, limited editions, mostly everything on vinyl, and the turnout has been awesome. I think this is really the first year and several that we've kind of been back to semi-normal, and you could tell everybody was ready for a big day, so it's been fun.
And this is a nationwide event for America today. It's National Record Store Day.
It is, and actually it's really worldwide.
Is it worldwide? Okay.
But I'm not sure if they do it on the same day, but it is a worldwide recognized event, so celebrating the independent record stores, and this is the 15th anniversary of that start, so it's pretty cool.
Well, that's great. Tell everybody now, what if someone has long gotten rid of their record player?
They're kicking themselves?
They can still get, well, yeah, because now it's sometimes...
Oh, record used, player. They meant records.
They're used as a musical instrument today, more than for scratching and stuff like that. But tell people they can still buy a turntable now if they want, and there are some great ones out there. Tell everybody a little about how they can get one.
Right, we have like three different ones in stock right now, but there's several that are kind of designed for all types of media. We have a couple that have Bluetooth. If you've got music on your phone, you can play it through there. CD player, cassette player, FM radio, so you can listen to you guys on WBHF. And
we don't know why, but you could.
Player.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. But we've also got we got a couple of those that are the kind of all media kind of event items, and then we've also got a kind of a standalone old school turntable that you could either plug it into a amp or you could plug it into powered speakers, because
or your auxiliary if you still have an auxiliary power supply, you could plug it into there too.
So yeah, we've got several to choose from, and they're out there. You know, a lot of people still love the vintage record players, and they go out and find those, but we've got new ones as well. So,
do you remember the linear tracking turntables back in the day? I used to have a realistic, I was thinking it was a Radio Shack brand, linear tracking. You put the record in there vertically. It set in there vertically instead of horizontally, and you close it up, and the needle would follow across like on its own program track or whatever, and those would never skip or anything. They just stayed right on that record. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen, but I had one for a time, and it was really cool.
Yeah, I had one that was it was actually flat, but it did the same thing. It tracked across.
Okay, yeah.
But I've actually seen there are actually a few models out there that they are still putting out there that are like that.
Well, very quickly, tell us some of the new albums. Now, you've still got a lot of old albums that people can have. You've got older albums in there on vinyl. What are some of the new releases that you can tell us about
today?
Well,
we've got all kind of stuff in. Stevie Nicks, They've re-released Belladonna for the first time in forever.
Oh, yeah.
There's a Ramones box set. There's a Doors. It's called the L.A. Session, L.A. Woman Sessions, where they actually have a box set of that. There's a new release of Chicago's at Carnegie Hall. There's also a, see, there was four box sets. Oh, a Grateful Dead box set from, I think it was 71 was the date.
Wow.
A lot of different Willie Nelson, Casey Musgrave, some country thrown in there as well.
So it's not just rock. There's all kinds of genres out there that are releasing vinyl still.
Bad
That's great.
Company. There's some blues, jazz. But just probably close to 400 titles were released. And we didn't order everything because, you know, not everybody's looking for everything. But we had quite the set up this morning, and we've sold quite a few. So
you haven't sold out yet. You still got some left. Okay,
no,
good.
We still got plenty.
I was talking to Alan earlier before we went to the break. There was, and you remember it because you're of our generation too. But kids today are buying records because it's a novelty thing to do, because it's a throwback thing. We still know what it's like to go to the record store, whatever one we would go to. And we remember some of the change from Atlanta. We used to go to Turtles, Record Bar, Oz Records and Tapes, Sam Goody's. There were so many that we would go to and visit that are mostly long since gone. Nothing like going to get that album, take it home. You can't wait. You know, you're driving home. You're like, I got to get this home and rip the plastic off and put that, drop that needle on that record and hear it for the first time of a group that you wanted to buy the whole album of. You know what that felt like?
Oh yeah, I mean that was even that smell. You know, you almost had a distinctive smell. Of course, now some of the older records have a distinctive smell as well.
That's right. So do comic books do too.
Good.
Comic books have that musty, but it's part of it though.
Right.
It's
part of the kids today, I say kids, but I mean there's 12, 13-year-olds, there's teenagers, there's young adults that are coming in and they're discovering that same type of, let's call it joy, you know, buying that new record. And you know, it's amazing how many copies of Dark Side of the Moon we sell younger crowd, you know, and they know, hey, this is one that I've got to have in my collection.
You know, the first album from Pink Floyd I bought, the first one I bought and was most introduced to them, and for the longest time it was my favorite album because I hadn't heard the other albums by them. The first exposure to Pink Floyd at home I had was The Wall. That's the first album I ever bought, and it really is still stuck in my mind.
It's a good one if you're going
to
pick.
Great album to start with Pink Floyd. It
like,
really is.
That may be like the culmination.
You could have got a worse one, yeah.
Wow.
Hence then, my favorite album by them has been replaced by, I love Wish You Were Here is my favorite album Pink Floyd, because I don't know why I love that one. I think it's got two guys on Catching on Fire.
Yo,
in front,
shaking
hands. In front
one's
of
on fire,
Brothers,
one's not.
In front of the Warner Brothers studio in the background. Yeah, that's a great album.
That opening song is just incredible.
Oh, yeah. It's just great. But there's nothing like getting those. I mean, Alan was talking. We and I were talking about the albums that we would buy, and we'd only like one song on it. Like, my whole savings on this $12 album that only has one song.
Do you know how
song.
Many lawns I mowed for this?
Yeah,
I should have just bought the single for $1. That wouldn't have been out that money. But hey, you live and learn.
You do.
And some of them were by groups that we were talking about that we knew we loved anyway, and we would probably love every song on the album.
You got to have them all. So,
well, tell everybody where you are and how long it's going on for today, and how long you guys are going to be there, and any other thing I might have forgotten about.
Well, we are, of course, at 21 North Wall Street, just down from WBHF, kind of right between Ross's Diner and 8-Track. And we will be here today until 6 o'clock. We're actually going to open tomorrow from 12 to 4, because not everybody can get out for Record Store Day, and we don't normally open on Sunday, but we'll hang out for a few hours tomorrow if somebody wants to come by and see what's left, or, you know, maybe pick up something they wish they had picked up today. And then, of course, next week we'll be open regular hours. But we're on Facebook, Instagram, rockandshop.cville. And I'd love to have everybody come out.
And I've been sharing all your stuff on my social media, too, and helping me get out there, because we love our partnership with you. We're glad you guys are an advertiser on the station. We love partnering with you guys. And we just love coming down there. Had a great time with Willard and John Boy and Steve Mitchell a few weeks ago.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was a great time. Just thinking about 96 Rock and in any older FM station that you remember from the past. I mean, all ties into the vinyl and everything else.
We sell so much 96 Rock stuff, you would think it's still blasting in the speakers, but, you know, Well, but we appreciate y'all and the support y'all give us as well. So,
well, as far as 96 Rock and any other station being gone, I'll borrow a line from Dr. McCoy in Star Trek. He goes, "Oh, it's never really gone as long as you remember it.
That's
it's always
right.
there." So
that's
true of that.
As
well,
long as YouTube's out there, you can probably find something.
There's stuff on YouTube where I'm like, I didn't want to remember that, but it's on YouTube. What is that doing on there? So that reminds me, you know, Don Kirshner's rock concert in the old days in the 70s. That's kind of the only way that we got to really get to see our groups back then, was when they would appear on that show. Or a Twiggy had a show where she would play music back in the day. Or there was no MTV. There was nothing like that. And a lot of groups had to get kind of failed when it came to that. When MTV came along, they're like, oh, no, people are going to need to see us now.
Right.
We were kind of anonymous before when we would just perform and people would hear us on the radio. And some groups like Hall & Oates and some of the other guys, they embraced MTV. They just made those videos and got out there and had a new renaissance.
Yeah, I
when
think
it comes
Don
to the
Henley
career.
Said he hated that time when he had to
right.
do music videos
right.
and pretend he was an actor.
That's right, yeah. Who else capitalized? Oh, ZZ Top took off,
yeah.
too. They're like, oh, we're going to put the car, the fuzzy guitars and everything else in our videos, and we're gonna make it. It's going to be a great formula. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
ZZ Top, we talked about that back when their guitar player died just a few months ago. We were talking about how well they utilized MTV. And, rest in peace, MTV.
Yeah.
They haven't been around for a long time. The VH1 kind of picked it up and was talking about it. I was talking to Alan about the Bands Reunited earlier, the show where they take bands and try to reunite them again on VH1, and it was great. And now I think VH1 really isn't playing a lot of... They've kind of morphed
like
out of it, too. Who's taking their place?
VH
anybody?
What?
VH1?
Yeah.
CNN Plus? Sorry, I didn't mean to make you laugh, but... Some of these channels are just not working, and they're not making it. That's too bad. So, I feel bad.
Too much of a great thing.
That's right. What it was.
Yeah. Favorite rock album of all time? Eddie, I want to put you on the spot, because I know we had the guys from 96 Rock, but we didn't get to talk to you that day. What if you had to pick out if you could take one album to a deserted island, and it makes no sense, you can still listen to it. You have like solar power on the island or something like that if you want to get logical about it. What album would you want to be stranded on a desert island with, by what group?
You know, I tell people all the time my three favorite groups are Pink Floyd, the Eagles, and Tom Petty.
Okay, three good ones,
I've listened to the Eagles longer. And Hotel California would have to be the one.
Great album. Hotel California. Big hit. Big album for them. That's great. Eddie, thanks for being here.
Thank
National
you.
Record Store Day today. Even if you don't live locally, go to one that's local. I know you got one near you somewhere. Alan, thanks for being here, too, as usual. Speak on there. We'll be back next week.
Say you wake up in the middle of the night. You got an idea that's out of sight.
So you jump out of bed and look around your room. You got to write it down and send it to Zoom.
Or say you've just seen something on this show, or someone cool you just gotta know.
Write it all down, don't make a mess, and don't forget your name and address.
Include a stamp so we can drop you a card, then dip your note in a bucket of lard.
Joe doesn't know what he's talking about. You put it in the envelope without a doubt.
Then take your typewriter, pencil, or pen, and if you make a mistake, you gotta do it again.
Write Zoom, ZOOM, Box 350, Boston, Mass. 02134.
Give it up!
Podcast Magazine presents The Hot 50 Countdown.
Hi, it's Rob Actis, host of the podcast magazine Hot 50 Countdown. Join me as I count them down from 50 to number one, the top 50 podcasts in the land as determined by you, the podcast fans. From true crime, society and culture, self-help, health and fitness, science, and every podcast category in between. The Hot 50 Countdown is here.
And don't forget to vote for BK on the Air as one of your favorite podcasts at podcastmagazine.com.